This time on Culture File, we return to our conversation with Dr. Elisa Bulfin, one of the organisers of The Threatened Child in 19th Century Popular Fiction and Culture, a conference at UCD's Humanities Centre. I pointed out last time that while the episode is about children, it's not necessarily for children. And this is again true this evening as the discussion centres on the ways in which portrayals of abuse in Victorian literature are replicated in the storytelling of our own time, such as in contemporary clown horror film It. But this time the first object of investigation is Bram Stoker's 1897 novel Dracula.
There is a particular scene in the castle in Transylvania at the beginning, really famous scene where three vampire women are about to prey on Jonathan Harker, the English solicitor, and Dracula storms into the room and he pushes the three women off and he says, "Leave this man alone, this man is mine." And so people have focused on the many ways that this moment can be read, for example, even representing Dracula's desire, personal desire for Harker. The women then say to Dracula, "Well, what are we to eat tonight? Are we to have nothing?" And very significant, well, actually passes under the radar. Dracula then throws to them what's referred to as a dreadful bag. And in it, Harker hears a quick wail as if an infant sharply suppressed. So it's strongly, strongly implied that Dracula has been out to the local peasant villages, has captured a child, and is now about to feed it to these three monstrous women. When I read the text before I had children, I didn't really notice it myself when I read it again after having children, that moment of the child being preyed on and its terror and its helplessness. It just stayed with me as particularly horrific. If I can give you another example from another very famous late Victorian Gothic novel, Robert Louis Stevenson's Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde from 1886. So Dr. Jekyll is a moral, upright scientist. Mr. Hyde is the incarnation of his hidden dark side. Stevenson wants to show us that Hyde is there's no good in him. He's utterly monstrous. So how does he do this? He creates a scene where Hyde is out on London streets at night, again, up to, you know, nefarious deeds. He's walking along a cross street. At the junction, he runs into and tramples over a young girl of 8 or 9 and leaves her screaming on the street. Something about that scene always puzzled me. A crowd of onlookers gather around, a doctor is called, everyone is horrified. But it's so unrealistic. You know, grown men don't trample over little children on street corners at night. Trampling assaults like that, they don't occur. So what's really going on in that scene? What's very likely going on in the scene is it's a covert reference to the problem of child prostitution, which was a well-known problem in London at the time. In fact, friends of Stevenson's even wrote in letters to each other, perhaps the trampling scene was a convention for something that Stevenson just could not say in fiction.
What you have there in Dracula and in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is the idea that these children suffer, and we get an impression that there's a coded reference to probably sexual abuse in both of those things, but it's perpetrated by these strange, otherworldly monster characters.
If you look at the statistics today, most children experience sexual abuse by people that they know well, or at least are acquaintances of them, are within their family or slightly extended circle. And there's no reason to think it was any different in the late 19th century. In fact, court records, for example, show that cases taken for incest were notable at the time. This is at a time when such things were really hard to say out loud in public. So in one way, the late 19th century focus on, say, child prostitution as a public scandal allowed the focus to stay off domestic abuse, which was even more uncomfortable. In 1885, W.T. Stead just took London and England by storm with a piece of investigative journalism. The series of articles were called The Maiden Tribute of Modern Babylon, and it was an expose of child prostitution on the streets of London. Stead went undercover himself and sought to procure a young girl, and successfully did, and in fact ended up in jail for a couple of months, you know, because he had broken the law in doing so and he had reported on it. But the scandal broke in this series of incredibly salacious articles. And Wattstead did in these articles is he invented a character whom he called the London Minotaur. And the London Minotaur was a kind of a personification of the brutal lust of London. He stalked the street at night looking for prey for young girls. Stead never considered boys, but young girls to prey on. And this really works against Stead's message. Stead is trying to say that beneath the veneer of respectable Victorian gentlemen is the willingness to engage in this kind of practice, which is quite a useful message. But when he wraps it up in a monster figure, when he personifies all of their lust in this minotaur figure, what he really says is, well, it's okay, all you respectable people, this won't happen to you or your children because it only happens to working class children, and it's only monsters and lurking strangers, and it's only if your children are out in the streets at night, and, you know, respectable middle class and upper class people don't need to worry about this. It shifts the focus.
So something that's configured as a kind of an expose becomes a cover.
Yes, it by distracting attention from another set of abuses, it does, yes. It does become that kind of cover, just as you say, and this is something we see persisting even in current cultural discourse.
And that's, I suppose, one of the most interesting things. We keep talking as though we're talking just about Victorian literature, but what we're talking about is the origin of a lot of the horror that we now see today. Some of the figures originally turn up, we're kind of aware, in Victorian literature, but they're incredibly persistent in this area.
A lot of the time we still get these gothic or gothicized or horrific accounts of it, and we still push the idea of the monster onto the perpetrator, and we're still more comfortable with viewing the perpetrator as somebody who is outside the confines of normal society because we can't bear the idea that these kinds of abusive acts are created by ordinary people. Stephen King's very famous work, It. The clown in It can be read as representing all of the evils of the adult world as perpetrated against children. It crops up in the 1980s when in the United States, what was referred to as satanic abuse panic was ongoing. The idea that children were being abused by satanic cults in their creches were essentially satanic cults in disguise. So these court cases were ongoing with breaking headlines at the time that King is writing. So it's really easy to read the clown as a metaphor for that. Again, helping to just other the idea of abuse from a domestic setting.
I was talking there to Dr. Elisa Bulfin. The conference, The Threatened Child in 19th Century Popular Fiction and Culture, starts at UCD tomorrow morning. VictorianChildren.home.blog for more details.